Sing that, you're saying mighty. You'll learn today that that means unstoppable. He's almighty, he reigns. We know he's Lord, we know he reigns, he's almighty, and he's unstoppable. Church, the God that you serve today, if you're serving, he reigns and he's unstoppable. Church, he's unstoppable. You got to get excited this morning on a summer morning because the Lord reigns and he's unstoppable. Give him praise today, church. Give him praise. He's unstoppable. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I call you Lord today. Lord of my life. You reign over my life. And Lord God, I know you're unstoppable. Father God, today, Lord, you are so welcomed here. You are so welcome at Cross Point Church. You are so welcome to all the broadcasts that we send out. Lord God, you reign and you're welcome. Lord God, I pray today that that power of your kingdom, the power of a kingdom that's unstoppable, Lord, floods this church, floods our people with power. Lord God, we need you today. There is no hope anywhere else except for your kingdom. Lord God, we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that peace that floods us, Lord. Not only this day, but all days, Lord God, we lean on your kingdom. We pray, Lord God, that kingdom to continue to reign unstoppable in our personal lives. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Look at somebody today as you're seated and say, the kingdom that reigns inside of me is just unstoppable. It's just unstoppable. It is so nice to see so many people in the house today in the summer, in the heat of vacation time, right? There are so many people. So that's one or two things. You're hungry for God or you're not going on vacation, right? At least not in June. I'm sure we'll all catch up on vacations. But for now, welcome to Cross Point Church. I hope you're excited to be here. What a place to be on a Sunday morning, right? If you're watching online, thank you so much for tuning in. For all those in our nursing care and nursing facilities and hospitals, thank you for joining us this morning. You know who you are. We are so appreciative that you decided to turn on your device and join us. So many ways that we broadcast, as you know, on YouTube and on the online campus at seapoint.church and on Facebook and also throughout the week. You can pick up the podcast for Cross Point Church and listen in. If you don't get the word out of Cross Point Church, you're not listening or watching or looking for it because you certainly can find it somewhere, right? It's been great. Hey, just to remind you, we have graduation Sunday coming up. That's in a couple of weeks. Check your bulletin. If you are a recent graduate, LG, if you are a recent graduate, anybody that's a recent graduate, you'll need to get into the church office, check your bulletin to the email address at office@seapoint.church. You'll need to get that in as quickly as you can. We need a short bio about you. I don't mean to do announcements again, but I just want to make sure everyone understands that we just honor graduates. We honor fathers next week, and we honor graduates the following week, and then we're going to honor those that want to get baptized here at Cross Point Church. That list is starting to fill up, not only the adults, but the kids as well. So thank you so much for honoring all that, right? Wow. It is great to be in June in Canton, Ohio. It's just great, right? The temperature's going up. It's getting warmer and warmer and warmer, and the sun's starting to stay out, and, you know, my hedges need trimmed, and, you know, all the stuff that shows up in the middle or early summer, right? So much going on, and everyone's taking a sigh of relief that the cruise ends over and the shirts are still for sale. You can get one of those. I'm seeing these shirts throughout the community. Now, that's kind of cool, right? I'm seeing Cross Point Cruising shirts being worn throughout the community and, you know, us included, and it's nice to see those. So if you haven't gotten one of those, pick one of those up. Hey, today is the final message of the Power of One series that I've been preaching on, and it has been really good. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have as well. Let me do a quick little review with you on the series, The Power of One. The Power of One, Jesus Christ has got the power of one, right? He is the power of one. And anyone who aligns themselves with Jesus Christ certainly has the power of one inside of their lives as well. And the series is talking about what God can do through you when you've got that kind of power and Jesus Christ shows up in your life. That reigning of that kingdom in your personal life certainly gives you power, right? Week one, we talked about the day of Pentecost. God unleashed that unshakable kingdom, not only in the earth, but into you. He wants to use us in a supernatural way. In week two, we talked about the kingdom is just unavoidable, unable to get around it. You're going to come into contact with God's kingdom whether you want to or not, because God's kingdom is unavoidable. Now, we can make ourselves unavailable to it, choice, but it's certainly an unavoidable kingdom. You walk outside today, church, when you leave, or you shut off your device and just look outside and you see this flaming ball in the sky called the sun and all the beauty of God's creation, and you just know you can't avoid it. It's everywhere, right? Aren't you happy about that? Aren't you glad that that kingdom is unavoidable? It's inevitable you're going to run into it. It's inescapable. It's undeniable. But you can make yourself, of course, unavailable to it. Psalm 139:7 says it like this: I can never escape from your spirit. I can never escape from that power, that kingdom. I can never get away from your presence. It's there. It's unavoidable. Two clues you're going to do something great in that kingdom. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. Nothing's working. And we talked about the story of Jonah and how just nothing was working and how he continued to run and nothing would work. And God kept chasing him down and nothing was working in his life, and right? Or nothing makes sense. We talked about Simon when Jesus says, hey, throw your net back into the water. They had fished all night, caught nothing, and Jesus says, just do it. Doesn't make sense. You don't fish in the middle of the day when the heat's out there from that sun, right? S-U-N. But just do it anyways. And the Bible says they caught so much fish that the nets could not contain them. They began to break. You know, just doesn't make sense. God wants me to do something. It just doesn't make sense, right? Doesn't make sense. Those are the two clues. Last week, we talked about the kingdom is just unchangeable. It's unchangeable. We talked about how that word change kind of puts either fear or excitement into your life. Like one or the other, or somewhere in the middle, you start talking about change, you're going to have some fear or excitement. I know many of you have the fear side. I know many of you have the excitement side. I have the excitement side, right? I don't mind change. I don't mind change. I think that it's exciting. It's an opportunity. Some people fear change because they see it's something different. I know many of you just fear change, right? Humans change, but God doesn't. God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord. He identifies who he is, and then he tells you right away he can't change. And I do not change. That means no matter how you seek me and you get to me and you're going to find me, I'm going to be the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to be your anchor, right? The changing world and the unchanging God collide at times, right? All the time, really. An unchanging God collides with a changing world, and there's just things that go on there. We talked about that. Four truths about the unchanging kingdom. God's promises are unchangeable. I promise Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abram at the time, I promise you this is going to happen. I promise. It's unchangeable. It's not going to change, right? And Abraham was convinced and he never wavered when God spoke to him. You know, you got to ask yourself, how many times are we convinced about something that God spoke to us and then we don't waver on that no matter what it looks like? I'm convinced. And I just can't waver. And he held on to that. God's purpose is unchangeable. It's just that purpose can't change. The purpose of God cannot change. Promises, and then he gives you that oath we talked about. I promise this, and you have my word on it. It's kind of like the double whammy, right? I promise this, and then he says, and you have my word. you know, the promises of God shouldn't have to have his word, but he gives that extra, you have my word. That is the God oath we talked about. God's character is unchanging. Those 4 points, God's character, his character doesn't change. Abraham believed them. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have all these ancestors. And his faith rested on the unchanging character of God. I believe you, God. I believe you say who you say you are. I believe it. I believe it. You say you're God. You say you're the Lord. You say your kingdom reigns. I believe it. Fully convinced. And he believed that God told him the truth. I wonder how many of us say sometimes, I wonder if God's telling me the truth. Right away, you're saying something completely outside of the character of God, right? And the fourth thing we talked about is you can change because God's unchangeable. God's unchangeability allows you to change from where you're at to where God wants you to be. God's unchangeable character provides us an anchor. Provides us an anchor. Can you imagine if you're living for heaven and there's no anchor there and God's constantly changing, you would have nothing to hold on to. It would change. The thing that you would grab onto today wouldn't be the thing that you grab onto tomorrow because God would be changing just like humans change or the world changes, but God doesn't change, so you know and you could rest assured and be fully convinced and unwavering that God's going to remain the same. Boy, I tell you what, that's got to give you a comfort level this morning. But the last message we're going to talk about today is your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, my kingdom, your kingdom that we adhere to is just unstoppable. It's just unstoppable. Now, as soon as you say unstoppable, we start to think, what does that really mean? And we take our private lives and we say, okay, these things are going on. And, you know, we kind of put our filter in there. God is not bound by our filter. God's kingdom is just 100 miles ahead. It's unstoppable. As you read now, you're seeing some of these revivals going on the college campuses throughout the nation. God's kingdom is unstoppable. It's amazing that the younger generation, a couple generations, you know, maybe after me, right? They're not too many after me, right? But now God is starting to show up on the college campuses. Why? He's unstoppable. God is just out, he's just unstoppable. What's that mean? What's the unstoppable word mean? You can't prevent it. It's unbeatable. You can't stop it. It's going to happen. I heard many times people say outside talking about the kingdom, they'd say, that's just unstoppable, Pastor. You know, I can't prevent that. Heaven can prevent something. Maybe it's beyond our reach. But boy, it just gives me such a comfort level to know that God is unstoppable. He's invincible. You can't prevent it. Thoughts like this. When God's power was unleashed on the day of Pentecost, so was his promises and his purposes. Since the kingdom is unstoppable, unbeatable, and invincible, when you align your life with Christ, you too are unstoppable, unbeatable, invincible. I don't know how many people watching online or here in the house today feel like that, that they're unstoppable, that they're unbeatable, or they're invincible. I know Superman was, right? Unbeatable, invincible, right? If you're into all that, right? But see, I don't serve Superman. I don't serve Superman. I actually serve a God that's unbeatable and unstoppable. That's the power of you. That's the power of one. That's the power of it living in you through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So the question we have on our series is, what can God really do through me? What can God really do through me? That is the core of the series. What could he really do through me? Anything that's unstoppable, anything that's unbeatable, anything that's invincible, that's what the kingdom does in your personal life. Hold on, let's go. Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. The core scripture for the Ohio for Jesus movement, for the Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God, all things are possible. What that means is God is unstoppable. It's impossible to stop him. You can move forward knowing your personal life can also be unstoppable. Look what it says in Philippians 4:13. And we've used this scripture many times in the past. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which means unstoppable, invincible, undeniable. I can do it. See, church, we're so programmed in society today on I cannot. I can't do it. You hear more I can't than you do I can't. I can't do that. It's not going to happen. And sometimes we just forget the unstoppable kingdom that we have access to. You can't, but God can. You can't, but God can. And the problem with saying I can't is you're relying on your own abilities when you start to say like that, and it's not about us, it's about the heaven's kingdom and what that kingdom does through us. What can God do through me, right? What can God do through me? I can do all things. Nothing in this universe or on earth can stop an almighty God. Psalm 91, 9 through 10, let's read. It says, if you make your Lord your refuge, if you make the Lord your refuge, the psalmist is speaking, if you make the Most High your shelter, it's kind of like the song the worship team just sang here this morning, no evil will conquer you. And then we get to this part, no plague will come near your home. Pastor, you don't understand. I got all kinds of stuff. I got all kinds of stuff showing up. Hold on. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Now, I don't know about you folks, but your pastor has like an army, right? I'm telling you, right? Right there, I should be dead so many times. I got like this army of them now. I could see in heaven, right? That crazy pastor's getting on that motorcycle again, you know, and his crazier wife is getting on the back, right? And I could just see the Lord Jesus just going over here and this like army, like hundreds and hundreds and thousands of angels just go down there and say, here we go again, right? Here we go again. He's had 3 motorcycle accidents. He's hit the deer doing 50, and he's still that stupid. No, I just have that much faith, right? Seriously. Yeah, we hop on the bike, and my wife starts to pray, right? And she continues to pray. And then we go down the road, and she's still praying. We get down the highway, she's still praying, you know, throughout that whole time. And we get home, and we have this little thing. I've told you this before. We have this little thing that we do. We pull right back into our allotment, and I say, another safe ride. And her on the back says, thank you, God, right? That's what she does, yeah. And it's a thank you of, hey, thanks, God, it was a good day. But it's really a thank you like this. Oh, thank you, Lord, it's over, right? But the Bible says that God will protect you with angels. It's not about the process along the way or the journey that scripture is talking about. It's talking about the end event. At the end of your life, you're serving, God's going to deliver eternal life to you. But along the process, along the way, there's going to be a legion of angels that takes care of us. Right? You've got to believe that. And how does that happen? Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord himself will fight for you. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Right? Just stay calm. We're not good at this, church. We are not good at this. I'll speak for some of those in our family. You know, we're really bad at this. The Lord will fight for you. But stay calm. It is hard in the midst of the battle to stay calm. Because you have to decide, That scripture is true, and you are fully convinced, and you're not going to waver, that the Lord himself is going to fight on your behalf. So all you have to do is sit back, put your feet up in the easy chair, and chill. And there lies a very tough decision that we have in life, right? You have to decide that that kingdom is unstoppable, undeniable, invincible. And that allows you, as a believer, to do exactly what that scripture says, just stay calm. Then your human side is raging, right? Your human side is, you're raging, as it does. Anxiety kicks in. The doctor's writing prescription after prescription of anxiety meds, right? And I'm not putting that down because, you know, at times we certainly, you know, we certainly need something because it's still a human body. But God continues to give us this reassurance, right? That his kingdom is just that powerful and that unstoppable, right? Just stay calm. But we want to move out. Don't you know how, you know, we're just this society of movers for the most part, constantly changing. I've never seen our society change more than it changes today. And I'm young. Like, I'm like really young. What's going to happen in another 50 years, right? Right? Who laughed, right? What's going to happen? I've never seen life change so much, so fast. Like, when I was a little younger, it was like slow-moving change. Today, it's like monster change. It's always changing. It's always changing. We want that movement, and we plan for that. Like in Proverbs 19:21, you make many plans, but the Lord's purpose is going to prevail. His will is going to prevail. The kingdoms are going to start colliding. Your kingdom and heaven's kingdom. And who's in the middle of that? I am. And who's in the middle with me? The power of one. I pray the Lord Jesus Christ is in the middle with you. With an unstoppable kingdom. Right? And God revealed this to Job. In Job 42, you know the story of Job. He lost everything. We're going to read all that. But the story goes that Job lost it all. Family, his everything he had, his health. He had nothing left. And as the world and his friends and family around him are screaming, curse the God that you serve, he remains fully convinced, unwavering, an unstoppable power of that kingdom in his life. He does not change. And he hunkers down. And in Job 42:2, it says, I know that you can do anything, Job. And no one can stop you. Why? Because he had the power of the kingdom living in him. He had connected himself to heaven. And God let him know that there's nothing that could stop him because of that commitment. Job's unstoppable. And God, as you know, restored him twofold, double of everything, right? We want movement, though. We want to move forward. And God helps us. Today, we're going to be talking about God's unstoppable purpose, his unstoppable will in your life. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God. And here we go. And there is no other. There's no other God. I am it. There's nobody like me. God is revealing himself step by step. I'm different. I could just see. I just know that God knew that back then when he's mentioning that today, 2024, there would be almost 4,000 religions throughout the world and many gods that people would adhere to. Many, right? And he says back in this scripture, I'm different. I am different. Church, you're serving a God that's different. He is different. He is saying here, I am unstoppable, unbeatable, invincible. He reveals himself. I am the God. There is none like me. There's nobody else. It is a powerful theme that resonates throughout the Bible. I am it. And that theme is from Genesis to Revelation, and it is constantly reinforced through scripture after scripture that I am different. I am who I say I am. I am the great I am. There's nobody ahead of me. I told you a story before when I was a kid. I was just trying to find my faith, you know, as a youngster, and I would always be asking things like, who's in front of God? I just was too young to understand the concept. This is, I'm 6, 7, 8 years old. I'm too young to understand this concept that God was always there. So I'm trying to find my faith as a youngster. From all the churches, going to church so much, and my mom's influence and family, I'm just trying to figure it out as a youngster. How could that be, right? I wasn't there yet. I just wasn't fully understanding that, you know, you walk out in faith. And it is a hard concept to understand that the God is that we're serving has never been created. That he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending. That full circle, right, folks? It's kind of like that. So you can't slide yourself in there anywhere. Because he's always been. Now, if that's not an unstoppable kingdom, I don't know what is. If that's not an unstoppable kingdom, let me give you a few examples of unstoppable in the Bible. I won't read all the scriptures, but just let's start thinking. I'm hoping that this will give you some recollection on some of the stories that God has blessed us with. See, the thoughts like this, nothing nor anyone can stop God's purpose. When God ordains something, no human effort or opposition can prevail against it. You know, he sets something in motion. I or no one is going to be able to slow it down or stop it. It's God's will. It's his purpose. It's going to happen. Unstoppable, right? It's going to happen. Finding what that is and understanding what that is a little bit more challenging for us, right? How many times have you said, I don't know my purpose? How many times have you said, I'm not sure. I don't know what God wants me to do. We're going to get to a few steps here in a couple of minutes, but I just want to go through a handful of stories in God's Word and get you thinking about the situation itself and what God did and how he showed how he's unstoppable, how his kingdom is just not going to be interrupted. What about Acts 5, Peter and the apostles being jailed? They're in jail. I'm just summarizing. I'm not going to have scriptures on the screen behind me, but just think of the concept that God watches some of the apostles being, Peter and others, being jailed. Of course, Paul as well, but back then, and that being jailed. But God had a purpose and God had a plan. You've got to go out and preach. I have something that's unstoppable. I want you out of there. So he tells some angels to go get them out. Scripture says, right? So they did. What a rescue attempt, right? And what did they do? They started preaching again. That's a paraphrase and a summation. It's amazing how God can just do what God wants to do, and human hands can't interrupt that. Human hands can't interrupt it, right? What about in Acts 9? Paul's being called. Story of Paul, you know the story of Paul. Christian hater, Jesus hater, church hater. And God met him. And changes him, right? Used to be called Saul, now he's going to be called Paul. He's making a transformation in his life, but he tells him this disclaimer. It's going to be hard. It's really going to be hard. And you're going to have a lot of adversity. It's not going to be easy. Do you still accept the assignment? Because my kingdom's going to be unstoppable, but it's going to be a challenge for you. And as the story goes, Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. What would have happened, church, if he wouldn't have believed and been fully convinced? What would have happened if he would have started to waver when some of those big things started to happen to him? what would have happened? There's a testimony of his faithfulness, the unstoppable purpose of God in his life, right? Paul was unstoppable. What about Genesis 37 through 50, the story of Joseph? We've used the story before. It's such a story that we, most of us, understand. Joseph had some really cool brothers, right? These brothers throw him into captivity, and they sold him into slavery. They loved him. They were like good brothers, right? Sold into slavery, heading to Egypt. God says, no, I got a plan and a purpose for this guy. One day, he's going to deliver Egypt from famine, and he's going to deliver his own family from famine. He's got to be fully convinced that I am unstoppable. I'm undeniable. He's not going to escape me. I'm unavoidable. And so he is. And this guy rises to power, as the story goes. He's unstoppable. What would have happened, church, if he didn't believe that? What would have happened if he didn't have that faith of being fully convinced and unwavering? We would not be talking about that story today. Daniel chapter 3, another story that many of us grew up with. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into a fiery furnace, right? The king says, you will bow down to me. No, we won't. You will bow down to me. No, I'm not. Throws them into the fiery furnace. God's ability to protect and deliver those that are fully convinced shows up. Why? Why are we using these examples? Because God has an unstoppable kingdom for people that are fully convinced. It's an unavoidable kingdom for people that are fully convinced, unwavering. They become unstoppable, right? What a story. There are so many. I just picked a handful. And then you get to the early church and Jesus himself. Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. He's telling you it's unstoppable. This is what I'm going to do. Jesus himself. I will build my church. Wouldn't it have been enough for him just to stop right there? I'm going to build my church, folks, and the gates of Hades will not be able to prevail against it. Here's what I'm going to do. Right there is a statement by Jesus himself that he is unstoppable. I will do it. And hell can't stop me. You live that life in Jesus Christ. God has called me. God is sending me. God is in me. And the gates of hell can't stop me. Church, are you fully convinced? Are you unwavering this morning? Because that's what it means when Jesus made that declaration. I'm going to do it. Despite persecution in the early church, the church moved on. God had a plan. It was a redemption plan for all humanity. And today, in 2024, that plan is just as powerful as it was back then. Why, Pastor? Why is it like that? Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is unstoppable. And the power of one in Jesus Christ that resides in you, I pray today, you become unstoppable. Are you fully convinced? Are you fully convinced, right? The early church, unstoppable. So here's the question. How do you find and apply that unstoppable, that undeniable power? How do you get the kingdom inside of you and understand that you now are unstoppable? What's this? It's finding God's purpose. And I'm going to give you the word to find God's purpose in your life. This is the key. You have to believe that the kingdom is unstoppable. You have to be fully convinced. And you have to be unwavering. Are we today, church? Romans 8:31 says, God is for us. Who can be against us? The thought behind that is be fully convinced that God is in control and his purposes will prevail. Be fully convinced. I'm pushing that home as much as I can. Be fully convinced that God is in control. Church, are we fully convinced today that God is in control? Many of you know that our daughter's in the hospital right now. Listen, if you're watching, what she said she would be, good morning. Major surgery on Friday, and you know, we just grab our hands and say, let's be fully convinced that God is in control. And his purpose will prevail. Be fully convinced. Let me give you a little testimony. I don't mean to call my daughter out this morning. Let me give you a little testimony that she had some complications on Friday during the surgery. It was a long day, right? And they had to do a little different procedure than what they anticipated. It turned out to be a lot more invasive. From laparoscopic surgery that was going to take hours to a little bit more invasive. And when they did that process, they found something that they would not have found if they wouldn't have gone the route they did. Life-threatening situation, right? If they would not have gone, and you know, we would say, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a scar. My daughter lays in the hospital bed, and I just am so proud of her, fully convinced. It went that way because God had to show the doctor something that they would not have seen any other way. And it warms my heart that she was fully convinced and unwavering that God delivered her. I hear the same thing throughout other people throughout Cross Point Church when their situation is going on in their lives. If you didn't know the story, our very own Ed and Betty Pittman, who are very active attenders here at this church. Their grandson was in a serious car accident this past week, Brandon, and he was life-flighted to Akron's Hospital, and he's, what, 18 years old, going to be a senior in high school. You probably maybe saw it on prayer chain, or you saw it on the news or something, but it was very serious. He's in very serious condition. I haven't got an update as of this morning, but I saw that there's a prayer vigil for him tonight at Louisville High School's football stadium. I believe it's at 7 o'clock. If you are looking to do something tonight, you certainly can go there and pray. But it's nice to talk and hear the fact that people believe when a situation like that is going on, after having gone through surgery, that people are fully convinced that there's an unstoppable kingdom, and that unstoppable kingdom is certainly in control. And then that peace shows up. That peace, right? And finding God's purposes, we believe. We're fully convinced that God is in control and his purposes will prevail. So I'm going to give you three practical steps this morning, church. And then we're going to celebrate. I'm going to give you three practical steps to get you there. This is a good time to take notes, but if you don't take notes, you can go to your bulletin this morning and you can scan the QR code and go right to my sermon notes for today or any Sunday. You can see those and follow along. But if you're committed to the search, you're going to find heaven, is number one. Three practical steps to get you there, to understand the purpose of the God. I'm going to believe, and then I'm going to be fully committed to search, and I'll find him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you're going to find him. And one of the biggest questions that pastors get, how do I do that? And the easiest answer is the same thing we always say, prayer in the scripture. You're going to find him if you're fully committed to find him. You're fully committed. I need to know the purpose of heaven. I need to know some things. Prayer in the scripture will tell you. And then you get the question, Pastor, how much I got to do that? And then the scripture tells us that as well. If you're searching for him with all of your heart, that means you're fully committed, and all of your soul, I need to know. And I'm not stopping until I get there. I have to know. You're going to find him. And I'm going to pray until I can't pray anymore, and I'm going to read till I can't read anymore. I was so proud of our youngest who went street preaching last night in this town that was having a large event. He's hanging around these young men that are going street preaching, fully convinced and committed. we pray, and we seek the Scripture. Three practical steps to get you to understand the purposes of God being an unstoppable kingdom. You're believing, and you're committed to search, and you'll find them. Number two says, change what you're doing to how God is leading. Change what you're doing to how God is leading. That means that's going from my desires to God's desires for me. How do I know that? We talked about that in weeks past, but it goes like this, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. How do I know, Pastor, if it's God's desire? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means be fully convinced. I'm convinced. Be fully convinced. Don't depend on your own understanding. It's not working. It doesn't make sense, is exactly what that means. Don't lean on what you know. Why? Because it's not working. Most of the time, it doesn't make sense. Seek His will in all that you do. That means search for it in all that you do. Everything that you do in your life, we need to search for His will in the middle of it. That's easy because it's a question. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? In this situation, you call out the situation. God, what do you want me to do? I use this all the time. It's amazing. What's so amazing? It works every time. God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? It's so easy just to rely on yourself. It's more difficult to say, God, what do you want me to do? In church, I will tell you, God will show up and tell you exactly what to do. God, what do you want me to do? It happens every morning at Cross Point Church when I'm in worship. God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? I have no idea. What do you want me to say? How do you want me to pray? What do you want me to say? What do I do? Change what you're doing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, fully convinced. Don't depend on your own understanding. It's not working anyways. It certainly doesn't make sense. Seek His will in all you do. God, what do you want me to do? Search for it. What's it say? He'll show you the path to take. I can't make it any clearer. And that pathway is an unstoppable path in your life. Third practical thing to find God's purpose. Be fully convinced that God will accomplish His purpose through you. Regardless of the obstacles that you face. Don't get to the situation and find some obstacle and you say, God, I must be on the right wrong path. I can't be. No, don't be. Be fully convinced you're going down the right road. The apostles, Peter, Paul, all of them, all the stories that I just talked to you about. Obstacle after obstacle, adversity after adversity. My wife has this saying, when we constantly get adversity, we know we're on the right track. Because that's the resistance. I must be going down the right road. Because the enemy's trying to get me off that road. So I'm going to be fully convinced that I've got to be on the right road because I'm going to continue to plow through. You will know if things aren't working and they start to not make sense. God's kingdom's unstoppable. Be fully convinced that God will accomplish His purpose through us, regardless of the obstacle. Philippians 1:6 says, God, who began that good work in you, will continue His work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. There's a work going on. So the question I have as we bring this in for a landing this morning, church, is what can God do through you? The power of one, what can He do through you? What does He want to do through you? What can He do? Anything. Why? Because the kingdom is unstoppable. You know, we are God's vessels on planet Earth to accomplish His will, His purpose. Not only the kingdom purpose, but the purpose in your personal life. Things that God wants you to do. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning, folks. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come face to face with an unstoppable God. To be fully convinced, unwavering, that I have a feeling that there's some situations in your life today, in mine, and all of ours, that we have these obstacles, these situations, that we're having trouble getting around. See, I believe that things happen at an altar of the local church, because the scripture teaches us that. That if you come down to the altar of the local church and you cry out to heaven, you're going to meet an unstoppable God through an unstoppable kingdom. And he will reassure you on the path you're on, or reassure you that you're going to change path and he's going to lead you someplace else. But you have to be willing to come down to an altar. Raise your hands in celebration that you're serving an unstoppable God. And his kingdom is going to reign in your life. Church, as we bring this in for a landing, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Stand with me as the altar time begins. Our worship team is going to sing Unstoppable God. I want you to make your way down to the altar. I want you to raise your hands and say, I believe there's an unstoppable God. And that unstoppable God is going to change my life on June 9th of 2024. Once you come down here, you may feel a tap on your shoulder or someone holding your shoulder. That's going to be your altar workers praying with you, believing with you. Church, come to the altar and let's meet an unstoppable God.
Fear is losing ground through our whole being.
I believe. Somebody say, I believe today.
I believe, Lord.
I believe. Somebody give a praise offering today. Say, I believe. Hallelujah. Lord God, I believe. Lord God, I believe that you are unstoppable. Lord God, I'm fully convinced. Lord God, forgive me for the times I wavered. Lord God, give me the strength and the faith of Abraham. When I don't see it yet, Lord God, that I know it's still unstoppable. I'm convinced, Lord God, Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray that prayer for Cross Point Church. I pray that prayer for those at the altar. I pray that prayer for those in the seats and watching online. Lord God, I pray that they're fully convinced, that they're unwavering, that they realize that you have an unstoppable kingdom. And the power of Jesus Christ reigns in their life. That power of one reigns in each and every one of us. All we have to do is cry out his name. Lord God, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, as we depart Cross Point today, that we walk out with victory, the power of one. God, what do you want me to do? Show me the way. And Lord God, work through me. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, all of Cross Point Church said,
amen.
Amen. Give them praise today, church. Hallelujah. Let's go out today believing in the power of one unstoppable God. God bless you.
Unstoppable God.